I love this list. Like it starts out promising, I'm gonna say, you know, like onion powder, cayenne, two basil leaves, but then it gets into like all these awesome packages of peppercorn gravy, ground gravy, taco spice, meatloaf spice. I question what that is. What is meatloaf spice? I don't.
I don't, because when I make meatloaf, I'm like, I'm making meatloaf. I better buy the package that says meatloaf spice and I dump it on the meat and put it in the oven. Welcome to Chef Over Your Shoulder, our podcast about the connections we make through cooking, pairing professional chefs Jody and Kirsty from the Culinary Studio with me, a burn to the bottom of the pan expert, creates the perfect recipe to demystify the kitchen and bring back the joy of cooking without the pressure. This week, I open my pantry doors, giving Jody and Kirsty a full view of my spice chaos. They waste no time calling out my dusty old seasonings. It turns out spices actually expire. And they question why I own cream of tartar. Spoiler, I thought it was for fish, not baking. We share some nostalgic stories after they spot some 80s Crystal Light lurking in the back. And of course, there are many recipes and spice combinations you can use, including Kirsty's Trinity of Middle Eastern Spices. We hope this episode inspires you to look at what's in your pantry. Hey friends, so I was rifling through our spice cupboard because I was looking for the cinnamon. My grandmother used to make sugar cinnamon toast when I would stay over, and now I make it for my kids. So I was looking for the cinnamon, and I started to see all of these duplicate spices and some that I have no idea what to do for. So it really prompted me to clean out the cupboard, and it also led to what we're going to talk about today, which is what's in your pantry.
Yeah, your photos were fascinating. I will say that.
Look for them on Instagram for sure.
Yeah, it was so brave to show your pantry.
Oh, thank you. Why?
Right? Like, oh. I've got an after photo. I do not have the before photo because it was so embarrassing. And it was 2 days to clean up my pantry. I can walk into it. It's not just a couple cupboards. So I know I'm like bragging. When you have too much space, it's literally too much space. That's my problem.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. There we go. We should start a new thing. Show your before pantry and your after pantry.
Yeah. 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 Only for the brave at heart. And that wasn't me. Like, we should lead by example.
I did say, I'm like, where's your before picture? Jody's like, oh God, no, no one's seeing that.
Do you want to know why? Because yes. I really believe that everyone should spend some time in the kitchen. The kiddos as well, whether you've got it, like we started, Chris, what were we, our kids were six when they could hold a real chef's knife and we had them in the kitchen. I think it's important. So more times than not, especially during the school year, my kids are coming home from school. I'm feeding them and they have to do some of the cleanup. But I swear to God, this is how they put stuff away. Like they just close their eyes and throw it and into the pantry. And then so your armpit deep in bags of chips, nachos, you know, every, like name it, pumpkin seeds. Like I had four things of pumpkin seeds because I obviously love them, but I don't know. It's embarrassing. Yeah.
I agree. Cause it's this time of year. Our kids are the same. Just close your eyes and shove it in. I think there was three bags of chia seeds cause they use it in their smoothie. So September is the time to clean it out after they kind of go back to their schedule and they're not home cooking three meals a day or making a mess all day long.
The classic empty box. Okay. Why? Yes. Empty granola box. Like
It's not like you're going to shame them and say, oh my God, you ate them all. You'll be like, hey, just let me know so I can replenish.
Yes. Yeah. I know. And so when I cleaned it out, I was like, oh, maybe you can give me some ideas about recipes that I can combine spices with because I'm not very creative. And so I'm really hoping that also, you know, I can learn to use some of the stuff in my pantry. So before we get to that, this podcast, as we said, is about laughter and learning and fun, but it's also about you, both of you, sharing your recipes with everybody. And so anytime we talk about something, you'll always be able to find the recipe in the show notes and also on the Culinary Studio website, likely through a blog, but you'll be able to find the links everywhere. So let's talk about what you guys cooked last week.
Oh, I've got two things because I have a real, real mom win. I got 10 out of 10. From everyone in my family. For those of you who don't know, I've got four kids and a husband. And to get everyone to like, that was really good. Like, and we cook chef-worthy meal. Like, we're cooking everything. Bibimbap, Thai curries, right? Like, salmon miso bowls, sushi from scratch, all of these things. And this week, I got a 10 out of 10. I was like, I bragged about it. I went to the hockey arena. I'm like, hey, listen to me. It was chicken cacciatore.
Wow. Not fancy. I mean, I think it's fancy, but it's fairly normal.
Yeah. We'll share the recipe.
Yes.
Yeah. Fairly well known, but who makes it anymore? Jody.
Jody.
Yeah.
Jody makes yeah. it.
So I think everyone should. I used Olivieri gnocchi. And if you're not familiar with that, not sponsored yet, Olivieri, but listen, it is a 2-minute gnocchi. As my kid is eating this cacciatore, gave me a 10 out of 10. She looks at me and she's like, hey, can you make this from scratch? I'm like, yeah, I can, but it takes hours. Like, I'd be in the kitchen.
Not 2 minutes.
Yeah. And the 2-minute stuff is delicious, right, Chris? Like, you've used it before. We love it for that very quick starch on a busy day. So we'll share that recipe for chicken cacciatore. It's a mouthful. The other thing is it's tomato season. I cannot get enough of a delicious tomato sandwich, right? Like, with some fresh toasted bread, a field tomato. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. I bought a basket at the grocery store or at the St. Jacob's Market. And man, oh man, I could eat like 3 of them a day. That's it. That's what I made this week.
That sounds very yummy.
Just tomatoes. You're tomato heavy.
You got to celebrate the tomato when it's in season, cursed, right? We know this.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. We've been canning like grandmas as well. So that, but that's a whole other story. That's a whole other podcast, Amy.
Yes.
What did I cook? I had a win as well. I was telling Jody about it, and it's kind of a great segue. I used my Asian pantry ingredients to come up with the sauce you know, soy sauce, sesame oil, a little bit of fish sauce, a little bit of lime juice, maple syrup. Again, well, we've got this recipe on our website. I don't even know what to call it, really. It was a weeknight miracle. My son came home from school. He's like, had I known this is what I was going to come home to, like, he lost his mind. All it was this sauce, noodles. I had like a half a pound of ground pork in the freezer and some frozen shrimp. Everything in the wok and green onion on top. And it was truly a little bit of a Monday night miracle. That's what it was. So that was a win.
Yummy.
But like, Amy, I'm sure you've had it where you like, you get, you know, a bottle of something for one recipe and then it sits in your fridge or in your pantry for 2 years. Like, what else can I do with fish sauce? Right. So we always try to like come up with new ways that we can add that ingredient or any ingredients really together to help you use them up. And that was this recipe. To be named.
I like it. So I have to say I have all the spices and I've got a lot of stuff, and you guys looked at the picture and you want to ask me a few things, so fire away.
Okay, so I saw your list and I saw cream of tartar on there. I'm thinking your kids are a little bit old to make Play-Doh, and that's a reason that people had cream of tartar in their pantry. Another is like they're baking and they're really liking the science. So you have that as an acid or, you know, a chemical leavener supporter. We can talk about that in another episode. What's the cream of tartar about?
So over the summer, my daughter Emma wanted to bake something and found a recipe, and it was in the recipe. And I, of course, said, are you sure? Because that's supposed to be used for fish.
Oh my God. You're saying tartar sauce?
I had no idea that cream of tartar was a spice or something you use to bake with. Like, nothing. I just was like, I don't know. Because I don't actually, even when I have fish, I don't put the tartar sauce on it. So like, I just was like, that can't be right. Cause of course most of, and I think it's great, they're always looking for recipes, but a lot of them come from Instagram or Snapchat. So I'm like, let's just, you know, vet that. But no, I was wrong, and it exists and it goes in baking. So that's why I have it. And Kirstie, it's going to be one of those things that sits there until somebody bakes the next time. Cause I don't know what else I would do with it.
Yeah. 100%. Like, how do we keep an inventory of our spices? Right. I know you have two bay leaves, you have two ginger, you have two large Montreal chicken spice. I don't even know what that is, but
it's like you buy it at Costco and it's already mixed. It's okay. We don't love it, but it's like, we've, I don't know what else to do. I know. I will say, and I do, you know what? I appreciate my mother-in-law quite a bit, and she always cooks she's often cooked the turkey at our house over Thanksgiving and Christmas. She brings the spices and then I think she thinks that I'm going to use them. So she brings them again, but I don't. So now I have two of things that I don't know what to do with.
Thank you for that explanation.
Oh my,
there you go.
I love this list. Like it starts out promising. I'm going to say, you know, like onion powder, cayenne, two basil leaves. You use like dried herbs like you would spices at the beginning of cooking. Don't think that you're going to create some magic by throwing some dusty leaves on the end, you know, to finish. Right? Like three oregano leaves, you know, curry, allspice must. I like cream of tartar, Play-Doh or fish, what, you know.
Either one, yeah, it's fine.
But then it gets into like all these awesome packages of peppercorn gravy, ground gravy, taco spice, meatloaf spice.
Yeah.
I question what that is. What is meatloaf spice? I don't.
Yeah. It's because when I make meatloaf, I'm like, I'm making meatloaf. I better buy the package that says meatloaf spice and I dump it on the meat and put it in the oven.
Crystal Light.
Yes. I have my Crystal Light right here.
I didn't know that was a thing anymore. I remember the jingle from 1983 or 85, right? Oh my God. Like I was like, I believe in Crystal Light because I believe in me. And like everyone was so slim on the commercials. My mom for sure had it.
It reminds me of my mom. She for sure had it. I will say that Stephen makes a lovely vodka and whatever soda and whatever I would like. And so often we have the little drops or he'll do the Crystal Light or whatever, because as a transplant patient, I do have to watch my sugar. So it's an easy sort of escape from sugar, but that is why it's there. It is not from the 80s. So there you go.
Yeah. It can't be natural.
No, it shouldn't be. We've moved away from it. It's probably pretty old actually. Because it's gotten very creative and really good with the summer drinks. So, I think it was in the back as I cleaned it out. I was like, oh, we still own this.
I love this that we're on episode 2 and we're still blaming Steven, right? Like he'll be our scapegoat. Well, like 10 episodes down, we'll have to have him on there and apologize for all of the things we blamed him for.
I know. Well, and we thank him for cleaning the pots and whatnot and making me drinks. So, you know, it's very, very appreciated. But I do want to get away from like the mixed spice, like the Italian seasoning already mixed and the taco already mixed. And I just don't know how. And interesting enough, my oldest Jackson was doing more cooking over the summer. And he made this one spice for his sweet potatoes and it had things I would never even think of. Like he put cinnamon in it. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. So it kind of also got me curious to learn a little bit more what to do in my pantry.
All right. I'm not going to say to throw anything out.
Okay.
Like that peppercorn gravy and those packages of brown gravy, you know, you're making a quick poutine during hockey season. You know, I guess that would be like a gut bomb, but it could be delicious. Also, you know, you could take some of that brown gravy mix and when you run out of your meatloaf spice, you could throw that in there for like some back.
Now, do you have a good meatloaf recipe? Because we're coming into sort of, you know, after school busy and colder season. And we do like it, but I would like to make it more yummy.
Oh, we sure do, Amy. We sure do. Yeah. About this time last year, I think, Jody, I did went on a bit of a meatloaf deep dive. We have that recipe on our website and people were stopping you on the street, I believe, or at the hockey arena saying, hey, I made that meatloaf. Thank you.
Yeah. I wish I was on the streets. I'm in the hockey arena and I am getting people. That sounded bad, but
no.
I am getting people like, I made the meatloaf recipe or I made it again. I've always been a fan of meatloaf, right? Like loved it, even though in the Christmas Story, you know, the episode like meatloaf, beetloaf, he's like playing with it, but it's so delicious. Like Kirstie's made like an amazing version. Yes, there is a link on our website for it. And it's simple, right? Like it's getting everything together and it can be so satisfying. Yeah.
So, you know, spices aside, you did show off your entire pantry. Fascinating. Just fascinating, right? It always reminds me, every time my brother goes into somebody's house, he opens their fridge and just like,
checks it out.
Doesn't matter who. Like, what are you looking for? Oh, I don't know. Just checking it out, right? And it is kind of fun. Your Bischoff spread love, like, I don't have it. I think I would really like it. I think it's, I love those little biscuits.
That's where it comes from. Yes.
Yeah. So do you just eat that on toast or what do you, yeah.
Again, my daughter, Emma, she's got the sweet tooth. She got the Ninja Creamy for Christmas and you put the spread in and the cookies and it makes something that's yummy. I will say it's extremely yummy.
Okay.
And that's, I didn't know it existed either. She always liked the cookies and, you know, they're kind of like nice little English with the tea cookies. And then she's like, oh no, there's a spread and I need it for my Ninja Creamy.
Okay. Yeah. No, those cookies are amazing.
I know. I'll get that recipe for you and that'll be my contribution.
Thank you. Yes.
I love it. So sorry, are you saying you're making like a vanilla ice cream with that Ninja Creamy and then stirring in cookie and the spread?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to phone Emma and ask her. So yeah, no, she really wanted it and I was like, oh my god, I have all these appliances that I do not use and I didn't want another one, but you know, she wanted it for Christmas, so that's what happened. And she uses it all the time and it's mostly sweets. I mean, she can make like sorbet, like frozen smoothie. That was really good in the summer, but she finds these ones where you add milk in it and then it has to freeze and then you put it in the Ninja Creamy and it spins it around and then you add some things. I will ask her and I will find out.
So I have another use for your Bischoff spread. I recently, cause I do love them. My hairdresser always gave them to me and I'm like, what are these magical little biscuits? And I recently made a Bischoff banana bread. So you chopped up the biscuits and put them in the banana bread and then drizzled with that spread to really gild the lily, as Jody would say. So there you go. There's another use for that.
That sounds really good. Okay, now we've got two uses for it. I'm in.
And listen, I don't want to come across as like two, you know, stuck-up chefs that have to make everything from scratch because 100% we're not. I've got Kraft dinner in my pantry.
Oh my god. True story. 8:30 last night. True story. I made two boxes of Kraft dinner. Jody, can you even believe that? You know when there's a kid at your house and they're really bold and they're like, "I'm hungry." Like not your kid.
And you're like, it's 8:30. Why am I feeding you, kid?
And it was a weird night. Like you have those weird nights. Sometimes you eat at 4:30. So then sure, at 8:30, everyone's hungry again. My husband's like, ooh, I'd have some. And all of a sudden we're all eating Kraft dinner, myself included.
Yeah. If it's al dente, it's delicious.
Yeah.
It is delicious.
Before I was a chef, I went to university and I did an exchange over to Ireland. And what I took with me, like the things that I would miss, was Kraft dinner and hot rods pepperoni
sticks. I got those in my pantry too. Hot rods. Yep.
Yeah.
The kids love them.
See? You need after school snacks too. Now, so we talked a little bit about some of the quote unquote normal spices that we might use every day. But I'm also curious, do you have some favorite sort of luxury spices or those ones you were talking about that we use for certain recipes that we should maybe keep? Because if we're like, oh, I want to make that, I'm always sometimes like, I would like to make it. Oh, I don't have that. And then I don't. And then I forget. So what could I have that maybe would broaden my horizons on cooking?
Kirsty definitely has a desert island spice. Like if she's only allowed one thing, she's going to bring that.
Ooh.
But then I have an opinion on when you're buying spices. So you want to talk about your desert island spice? I think it's really, really cool.
Well, my desert island spice, and maybe I'll hold up this, maybe I'll take a snap picture of this, is smoked paprika, Amy. So, and the best thing about smoked paprika, where's my camera, is that you can get it at HomeSense.
Nice.
Generally. That's the classic HomeSense sticker that doesn't come off of anything, right?
Never.
Yeah. And I love it because you can get it in mild, you can get it in hot. And it really, if you're like making a chili, oh, I don't have chili powder, I'm going to use smoked paprika. Tacos, smoked paprika. Tomato soup, smoked paprika. Bruschetta, like it really, and Jody, you introduced it to me, I think, because you've got a real love for Spanish cuisine. And I just think there's so many things that it's going to go well with and so many things it can replace.
That's so interesting. I would love to have a new spice that I could interchange with some of the things I've been using. So I'm definitely going to get that one.
Get yourself to HomeSense after this episode.
I can do that.
I always say, because we tell this to so many people, and I did have a mini stress, not panic attack, but I was just like, oh my goodness, is there no smoked paprika at my HomeSense? Because I tell people, I'm like, get it at HomeSense, but you always leave a jar for Chef Jody and Chef Kirsty. Like, don't take all of them, right? Like, if there's only one jar, sorry, you can't take it. You got to leave it for them because they introduced some yes to it. But yeah, just a great price point.
Sorry, can I further that and just say that I feel like paprika in general has kind of gotten a meh rap, right? Like, it's like this, maybe I didn't see it in your picture. Maybe you've got a bag of old dusty paprika, but in other cultures, it's really highly revered, right? Like the Spanish. And then another one that I have, another type of paprika, is the Hungarian style. Right. We've got, you know, a goulash cooking class that we do, and it was just like unbelievable. But you need to have, you can't just use any paprika, and it's a sense of pride. Like, you know, I go into this little European shop, and yeah, the owner's just gushing over this paprika, and it can really make a difference. So throw out your dusty old tin of paprika and refresh with something new.
On the whole, throughout your old spices, do they have an expiry date?
Yeah. Generally speaking, after about 6 months, they're not as fresh. And you can sometimes smell, you know, the spices and know that they're like, oh, it's not as fresh. It smells a little stale, right? And if you run into that so often, go to the Bulk Barn.
Oh,
Canada has Bulk Barn. It's amazing. Yeah. You can buy smaller amounts. It's a way to test the waters of the spice if you need them, or just get the right amount for whatever you're cooking. Like when you go to a grocery store, spices are like $8 for a larger, you know, container of them. And you're like, do I need that much? You go to the Bulk Barn and get, you know, take your recipe with you and say, okay, I need a couple teaspoons. Get a couple teaspoons of it. You know, even measure it out with your own measuring spoon. and then you've got it. It's always fresh. There's great turnover there. And then you're not committed.
That's a great tip. I didn't even think about that. I mean, I usually go in the Bulk Barn, turn right and go to the candy. So I should maybe turn left and go to the spices instead.
There's so many, like tea there at the Bulk Barn, right? Definitely. I'm going to get the loose leaf Kit Kat. That's my favorite chocolate bar of all time. Right. And then I'm going to get some spices. Yeah.
Cool.
I do want to talk about the packaged hollandaise.
Okay. I will. Okay. So I'm going to say that Xavier took foods in high school last year and really enjoyed it. And that's one thing that they made. And I think, again, that's my trepidation of things, right? I'm like, oh, that must be really hard to make. So I'm like, oh, we'll do that later. And later never comes. And that's on me. But I did buy it because he's home a lot after school on his own. And so then he can make it quickly for if he has to go. And, you know, he's all in. So when he's in, he's all in. He's like, well, I have to have Eggs Benedict for dinner 3 months.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. After school, 11 o'clock in the morning. Like he went through a little phase. Like he got all these great recipes and he went through a phase of making all the ones from his cooking class. And he makes great cookies. He got a great chocolate chip cookie recipe from there. So that's why. But him and I have talked and he is very curious to learn how to make it from scratch. And I know that it would taste so much better. And I love Eggs Benedict. So I would actually love to learn a little bit more about how to make hollandaise sauce. So that's my story on the hollandaise sauce.
I've got a great story about hollandaise, but I think we should do an episode on eggs and we'll regroup on it. You can wait with anticipated breath, right? Hold your breath on this one.
That's right. Stay tuned.
And you're not going to believe what my answer is. Like, you're not going to believe my feeling.
All right. I can't wait. So I mentioned earlier a little bit about, I've got all these spices and you're saying keep them not the 6 month old ones, but keep them and use them. So can we talk a little bit about your favorite combinations of spices and what recipes you use those in and how does that work? Like, I'm like, oh, do I put how much of this versus how much of this? What's the balance? And what do you guys like when you're combining spices for certain recipes?
Often Kirsty and I will come up, we'll have similar answers. And one of the things that I'm going to say is more is more, mm-hmm. right? Especially for those people not using spices so much, you're going to probably, it's not just a little pinch. You need a little bit more. We're talking like anything, depending on the spice, between a pinch and a tablespoon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
With spices, there's a certain way you cook with them.
Okay.
So with whole spices, let's say you've got whole spices. We've got a delicious butter chicken, right? Mm. We've got, I don't know if we even talked, we probably talked about it in the first episode. We talk about it all the time. You know, everyone loves it from little kids all the way through. And we have our own spice blend for garam masala. When you create your own spice blend, you can be like, I'm a spice wimp. I didn't know if I said this before.
No, but that's good to know.
Total spice wimp. So if there's heat, I'm always going to dial it back, right? Even Kirsty's spice level, her heat level is too hot for me. When you blend your own spices, you can control that.
Oh yeah, that makes total sense. That's a really pro for blending your own spices. Here's my basic question. What's the difference between a whole spice and a not whole spice?
So you can buy whole peppercorns.
Oh, okay.
You've got, you know, on your list, you've got coriander seeds. So that's a whole spice.
Never opened that one ever. Not sure even sure how it got there.
Okay. Well, we'll show you how.
I do like the idea of mixing it and then controlling it. That's something I didn't think about. So Kirsty, you more have some stories about actual combinations.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we recently did a fish taco recipe, and that was a real eye-opener on combining spices. You said right at the beginning of the episode something about your son adding cinnamon to something.
Yeah.
Like, what? Mm-hmm. Right? And so it's bringing in, so this fish taco recipe had my hero, a little bit of smoked paprika, cumin, coriander, a pinch of cinnamon. We see that a lot in Mexican spices. So as Jody said, more is more, having fun combining them. That's one of our favorite combos. One of the other favorite combos that I have, I made up the name. I call it the Trinity of Middle Eastern spices, which is Aleppo pepper. So these things are become like, sure, our parents, my mom didn't cook with these, but they're becoming more readily a bit available, right? You're seeing Pulby Bear, which is the same as Aleppo pepper. Maybe if you're reading Bon Appetit, you're for sure seeing it. So my Trinity is the Pulby Bear, also known as Aleppo pepper, Turkish mint, and sumac, which is a real sour spice. It comes from the, what is it, Jody? The berry of the sumac tree. Yeah, dried up.
Yeah, but not our native one, not the one native to Ontario, a different one. So don't think that you've got like you're harvesting sumac and selling it with your lemonade stand. Can't do that.
And what do you use it for?
Like if you take this Trinity and put it on fish and roast it in the oven, chicken, vegetables, like it's such a great balance of the herbaceousness of the mint, the heat, the mild heat. It's like a sweet and sour heat of the Aleppo and the sourness of the sumac. It is honestly a match made in heaven. So there's one of my favorite newer combinations on the block.
That sounds amazing. So we I've talked about a lot of things and you often give me some homework to do. So what do you think I should tackle then in the next couple of weeks?
I'm going to give you my Montreal steak spice memory option since you have so much of it.
Do you use Montreal steak spice?
No, I haven't used it in decades.
Okay.
But I'm almost wanting to grab years and years ago because Jody and I love cooking, right? Since we're kids and we'd go over to like, you know, friends' houses and the parents would cook something. And I have core memories of some of these recipes. And one of them was this, you know, Mrs. Fitzgerald, she made these fried tomatoes. And so she would take big, thick slices of tomato, even like a tomato in half, circle it into a cast iron pan, a little bit of butter, sprinkle on Montreal steak spice and cover it with grated cheese and just turn it on. Jody, I'm telling you, Amy. And so when I saw that Montreal, I was completely transformed, as cooking does to us, which is why we love it, completely transformed to that kitchen. And then we just ate it with steak and bread. Like it was unbelievable. So I might have to just bring it back.
I can't leave this episode without talking about some of the science of the spices.
Thank you, Jody. Thank you. Yeah, please do. I left it for you.
Yeah. So one of the things, just in general terms, there's three things. One, there's like power couples in spices. So turmeric and black pepper, anti-inflammatory. We'll give you a list of ones that when they're combined, the health benefits, really multiply. The other thing about spices is there are fat-soluble flavor components and water-soluble. So Kirsty talked about the fish tacos and this spice blend. And when we make it, it becomes a paste. And what we do is we start it with just the dried combination. We add hot water to it. And then right away, it becomes aromatic. You can start to smell it. You get excited. Then we add oil. And so then that way, when we cook it, you're getting all of the flavor compounds are really elevated by first adding some water and then adding the fat to it. And then the third point that I want to make about the science of cooking is we talked just briefly about whole spices. With whole spices, you want to toast them, right? So those seeds, and when you're making your own spice blend, you're going to just get them in a dry pan, shake it till they become aromatic. You definitely don't want them to burn. Even in the simplest sense, taking cumin seeds, toasting cumin seeds, adding that to raita, which is often served with Indian curries, which is yogurt and cucumber at its like basic level as a palate cleanser. Adding toasted cumin seeds is just a real flavor explosion that you get from it. And then you're like, well, you're leaving out all of these ground spices that I have. No, when you have ground spices and you're adding them to any dish, it's what's known as tempering. So tempering the spices. So once you add like, let's say onion, ginger, garlic and whatever else, then you're adding the spices, frying them for 30 seconds before you would add the tomato or whatever else. And so then that starts to bring out those flavors. And it starts to activate that flavor profile instead of it just feeling like it's kind of on the surface of the dish.
Okay, tempering, I can get behind. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know you could do it. And it sounds like such an easy way to add flavor to a recipe.
I'm going to add one more point, which is kind of what you said, Jody, but like, the layering, right? There's a reason like Indian food is so delicious because spices are added at the beginning, the middle, and at the end, that tadak, that like fried spice drizzle all over the curry. So don't be afraid to, like I think we said right at the beginning, don't shake the dusty old spice on top at the end of your cooking, right? Get it in there at different stages, layering.
That's great advice. And I'm going to be checking which clubhouse tin I have in the back of my cupboard because I haven't cleaned them all out yet. So I'll be on the lookout and I'll let you know.
I have to give one quick PSA, right? Like the newer versions, some still are in tins, but they look like this. So if you have the old version with the, the orange colors of the clubhouse spices in the tins, honey, it's time to get rid of it.
So what I'm going to do is homework. I am going to take all these recipes you've talked about. And I'm going to pick one and I'm going to make it. I'm going to let you know how it goes.
Okay. We've got it for you. Fish tacos.
Okay.
My kids requested it. My kids went fishing and brought home all this fish. I'm like, when are we having those fish tacos? They're so delicious and so rewarding and a really great showcase on spices.
And ready in 30 minutes.
So I'm definitely going to try that one. So as we said, when we started, all of the recipes and all of the spice combination and all of the advice will be in the show notes and it will be in a blog post on the Culinary Studio website. We'll see you guys next time. Next up is chicken noodle soup.
Woohoo!
And you guys have dueling soup recipes, so you won't want to miss that.
They're both delicious, so like you're going to want to make both.
Thank you for joining us in the kitchen today. If you'd like to know more about what we talked about, including recipes, recommendations, and links to Jody and Kirsty's full selection of online classes, you can find everything in the show notes or visit the Culinary Studio website. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast and take a moment to leave us a review. Chef Over Your Shoulder is a member of the Bespoke Productions Hub podcast network. Happy cooking!